when the men stand up to sing, something good's going to happen. That's all I got to say. They sound so good. Praise team is just sounding so good. Sounds a little odd on the recordings because it goes back through each individual thing. Ted, you know I don't know what I'm talking about. He does. But when it goes through the recording, it sounds, it's like individuals, these things. But here it just blends and it's just so, so beautiful. I am just so amazed at how well they do. I have an analogy for you that I think will encourage you. Y'all know what the Green Berets are and the Navy SEALs. They're a relatively small group compared to the armed forces as a whole. So I'm teaching us in looking at this group as if we could be the Navy SEALs or the Green Beret rather than the CCP military of hundreds and millions of thousands of just, you guys can be the Green Beret for God. You can be the Navy SEALs for God. That's pretty cool, ain't it? I think that could happen. I just people look at you and they don't even know. You kind of blend in and, but man, the things that they get done, the things they get accomplished, that could be us. So, with that said, I'm gonna share a passage, Acts chapter 7, verse 39. I'm gonna share this passage. There are a lot of ways to share these truths, but I think in this Hebrew writing, scriptural way, there may be some questions answered, some sense to fill it in. It's a little deeper thinking about mankind and about why things happen the way they do. And so I want to talk about this little section here in Acts 7. Stephen is kind of turning the tables back on the Pharisees, on these Jews. He's about to die, but he is actually not defending himself. He is going back. And so we'll come to Stephen's point here in a little bit. But I want to crack open Acts chapter 7, verses 39 through 43. And there are some amazing, beautiful pictures of humanity, of God. There's just some things, some questions that we ask that we're probably all of us in the back of our mind. We all have these questions. We all have these things in there that sometimes we just don't even know how to ask the question. But it's there. We have some questions. And that's okay. There's going to be a little bit of that, some answers today for a few things, if you'll think with me a little deeper. So this is the hard part for you. I'm going to read Acts 7, 39 to 43. And then I'm going to go back to Exodus chapter 32 and 33 and kind of flop back and forth a little bit. So if you have a spare piece of paper or an extra ribbon in your Bible or whatever you're carrying, if you can somehow keep a finger in Exodus 32 and 33 area, we'll be doing a little flip-flopping. I'll hit Deuteronomy 29 and some other passages. But that's going to be kind of the thing. We're in that section of Scripture here, and so I'm going to go back right away to Exodus 32, and we're going to talk about that. I have little colored papers here. Makes it easy for me to get there. So if you have anything like that, That's it. Acts chapter 7, verse 39 through 43. Let me read this, and we will pray, and maybe the Lord will give me some bit of sense that I can speak clearly to you. We're in our chapter, Acts chapter 7, verse 39. Let me begin at 38. This is the one, remember, we read this last week, they had posed this thing about Moses, and Stephen comes back, this Moses, this man, this Moses, this is the one. He's kind of clarifying Moses to them. Verse 38, this is the one, this is the Moses that was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai and with our fathers. He received living oracles to give to us. Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make for us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered a sacrifice to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, did you bring to me slain beasts and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god Rephan, the images that you made to worship, and I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your word. This is the word of God. We're trying to learn it, to grasp it, to see you, and to learn more about you, and to do your will. So, Lord, I pray now that you will just bless us with grace, with ears to hear and hearts to comprehend. Bless me with the ability to speak sensibly, that we can grasp and understand more of you, that you'll put a hunger in our heart to dig a little deeper, to see you a little clearer. I can't do this without you. Your Spirit will do all the work. Any work that's meaningful, that's lasting, that will make it through the fire on that day, will be done because of you and your Spirit. So I ask you to do that. We will honor your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So familiar story. I'm going to title this section, Waiting and Creating. Waiting and Creating. If you'll turn to Exodus chapter 32, I'll show you why I call it this. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. And I'm just going to say as just a subtitle while you're turning there, that waiting is a powerful, powerful thing. Waiting can show us things, teach us things, magnify things. Waiting is a powerful, powerful tool of God. And here we have it. So I've titled this Waiting and Creating in Exodus chapter 32. Here's why. Verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down, they were waiting. When Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up! Make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Waiting and creating. So that'll be like my first point will be waiting and creating exposes who we are. That's going to be kind of the first point right there. And then the second point, which is following in verses 2 through 10, are just crazy interesting to me. In verse 2, so Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and they rose up to play. Stephen said it that they rejoiced. They rejoiced in the work of their hands. So that will be our second thought to dig a little deeper, is that they are rejoicing in what their hands have made here. So my first kind of point, my first thing as I'm reading this and I'm scratching my head and I'm digging into this. Their hearts turned back to Egypt, it says. They were waiting for Moses. Moses has gone up on this mountain. We know it was 40 days thereabouts. And they're simply waiting. They've come out of Egypt. And I'm just going to back up just a little bit and wonder in my mind, and maybe you will wonder in your mind, did they really want to come out of Egypt entirely, completely? Or did they just want some relief from the heavy taskmasters that were on them? They had gone through different administrations, let's put it that way, but they had a good history in Egypt. They went up there with just a handful of people, really, when Joseph was there, and their lives were somewhat saved. There was a famine. They had a good history there. They had a growing history there. They went from a few to a ton of people. And they had a Joseph history, which was a history of influence, which means Joseph became the second leading man in Egypt, and life was basically pretty good for how many years in Egypt? I mean, they had a really good life. And they grew up there, they had kids there. And I wonder if when Moses came on the scene with now this heavy slavery, if they really in their hearts weren't more like, can't we just get back to the way it was when Joseph, remember the stories about Joseph? I mean, life's good here. I read in here that even in their hard labor, that their foremen were Hebrews. So like the guys making the bricks and all this, their foremen, their group leaders, they were Hebrew people. So they were bosses over themselves, and it was the taskmasters kind of over the top. The plant manager, so to speak, you know, they were cruel to them. But I mean, they had developed such a society there and had such a good and a growing history. I can't find a place that says, we just want to leave this place for good, get out of here. This was God's plan for them to leave and go and worship Him. And I'm wondering in my heart, when it says their heart went back to Egypt so easily and quickly, even though it was slavery, did they not want relief rather than a total redemption from Egypt? You know, they got out there and it's like, yeah, great, a wilderness. We're gonna go start a new country and go to war and throw these people out. I mean, I don't think they were really thinking that. I think they really just wanted relief. Not a completely new life. Not a completely blank slate, start over, whole new life. Everything new. We have nothing. We own nothing but tumbleweed out here in the wilderness. And I just wonder if that's really why they so quickly turned back to Egypt. Clearly says their hearts turned back. The power of this just momentary waiting, 40 days here in Exodus 32, they were waiting, and it says that this man, Moses, who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. We don't know. I don't know what happened to Moses. He went up on the mountain, looks like it's on fire, it's smoking, it's rumbling. Don't know. I don't understand what's going on. I can imagine in their mind they had no idea. It was very difficult to understand what was going on at this point in their life. The guys disappeared. The guy that brought us out. Maybe we really didn't want to go come out for good. We just wanted some relief. We wanted to get back to the way it was. But we totally don't know what's going on here. When that happens in anybody's life, this period of waiting, and there are always things we don't understand while we're waiting, and the power that I talked about in that waiting is that it will reveal our hearts. So when hearts turn back to Egypt, things that are not understood are quickly set aside and replaced by idols. Are you with me? When we go through a difficult time of waiting, 40 days or 40 years, whatever it is, you're waiting, there are things you don't understand. Why did God make this turn in my life? Why is God doing this? I mean, there's this period where, let's face it, every one of us here has been through this uncertain time. I look around this room, come on. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know, Harry is waiting for answers right now. We have been on this journey with Darlene for how long? We are waiting for some concrete answers. I could go around this room and just say, there are changes in our life and we just don't quite understand what's happening. And the power in that waiting is that it does reveal things about our heart. And sometimes those things that we don't understand are quickly replaced by Egypt, by things Egypt has and offers us. And I have this big blank hole that I don't understand. But at least I can get an answer from Egypt. If I go that way, at least they'll give me an answer. And so waiting is a powerful thing, and we will find people waiting and then creating a God or something to fill in these big holes where we just don't understand yet. That's something we need to know about ourselves. If I find myself in a different season, and I'm waiting for God to come down and put my feet on the solid rock and just get things back planted. I feel so vulnerable, this thing, it's just so scary, it's just so, and we find ourselves there, whether it be short or long waiting, this is not what I signed up for, and we have these answers, and our heart will bounce all around trying to fill those holes of not understanding. Sometimes we just pick at each other. There's just this waiting and this hole of not understanding. And so I take my frustrations out on you. or you take your frustrations out on me or on someone next to you, and we just kind of waiting's a powerful thing. It'll bring out our heart. Turn ahead to Deuteronomy chapter 29 just for a minute. So we are years ahead now. We're near the end of the 40 years in the wilderness, and Moses has, most of that generation has died off, and he is re-giving instruction for this new and upcoming generation to walk with the Lord. So in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1, it's very clear. These are the words of the covenant that the Lord commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab. That's up near. They're getting close to going in. Besides the covenant that he had made with them at Horeb. That's Mount Sinai. That's the Ten Commandments or the Ten Words. So this is the covenant that he's now making with these, with this newer generation. Besides the Ten Commandments, God is proposing this covenant to this newer generation. Verse 4. But to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. You ever say that about your own life? You think about that. I just don't understand what God's doing. I don't understand what's going on. Maybe right now you look around this world and you see truck convoys in so many nations now. The supply chain is going to be dwindled. You are seeing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in the streets of all of these lockdown countries. Russia is at the gates of Ukraine and they're talking Third World War. There is so much going on right now. If you have those answers, you let me know. You let me know. Write a book. You'll sell 10 million copies. Because this world is turning inside out as we sit here. There's so many things we just don't understand. This would be a good verse for us to say, as to this point, God hasn't given us the eyes or the heart to understand. It's meant by Him for us to have times where we don't understand. There are actually things, events in our life we're not meant to understand. We're meant to have faith. We're meant to have faith. And so this waiting and this not understanding is a very powerful thing then. For us to exercise faith or to let our heart go back to Egypt. And at least we get some cucumbers and leeks and onions. So, but to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or hear. He proposes, down in verse 12 then, He proposes this covenant with them so that you may enter into the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that He may establish you as His people and that He may be your God. Verse 14, it's not with you alone I'm making this sworn covenant, but with whoever is standing here with us today. Before the Lord our God, and with whoever is not here with us today. He said, I'm making this covenant, but it's just not with you, it's with anyone here. Don't even have to be a Hebrew or Jewish children or whatever. It could be anyone, could be people in Goshen, Indiana. I'm making a covenant with you that you'll be my people. And so we have a new covenant of Christ's blood that we are a peculiar nation and a holy priesthood, and He has offered us this covenant today in the blood of Christ to become His people, his family. There's the offer of the covenant to Israel. But they're like us in verse 19. Let's go to the middle of verse 18. Verse 18. Beware lest there be among you a man or a woman or a clan or a tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. Listen to this, verse 19. One who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, he blesses himself in his heart, saying, "That's okay, I'll be safe. Though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, this will lead to the sweeping away of the moist and the dry alike." So he says, I'm offering you a covenant. There's things you don't understand. I haven't given you those eyes and ears to understand yet. I'm offering not only you, but anyone, this covenant with God. And you just be careful of those people who say, no, I think I'll be all right. I think I'll walk in my own pattern, my own way, my own life. I can handle this. And I'll pick and choose, and I kind of, there are other nations and other gods and other things, and I'd rather be in control myself. You be careful of that person, because the moist and the dry alike will be swept away. When you start doing that, when your hearts don't just plant on God, is what he's saying, there are going to be a lot of people around you affected by your sin, your stubbornness. So he's offering them a covenant like he's offered us a covenant today, the new covenant of Christ's blood. So all in, or kind of a smorgasbord, or I'm okay, I don't think I need to totally leave Egypt. I just want some relief, so to speak. And so he says, beware here. Beware. There's things you don't understand. I know that. I haven't given you the eyes and ears to understand everything yet. But I want you to have faith in me. Now look, this is one last verse. Verse 29. Deuteronomy 29, 29. This verse should be on your refrigerator. After all this, offering this tongue, I know there's things you don't understand, but I'm offering you my covenant for you to be my people and walk with me. Verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There are secret things you're never going to understand about God. I'm never going to understand why my life took that turn, what God's doing here. There are other things, there are other questions about God you and I will never have an answer to. There are secret things going on. He is over all. They belong to Him. That's just Him. But the things revealed, that's for us. That's for us. The things revealed, the things you do understand, the things He has opened our hearts and our minds to understand, that's what we're responsible for, that we may do all the words of the law, the God law, the word law. So, it's on the table now. We don't understand everything about God. And we wait. We come out of Egypt, maybe just wanted some relief, but now it looks like it's supposed to be a whole new life. And there are just things now. I thought this was how it was going to go. And it's not. And man, I don't understand. And now he's saying, yep, that's right. That's how it's supposed to be. I haven't given you the heart and the mind to understand. The secret things, those are mine. Don't worry about them. What I've revealed to you, what you do know, you keep it. You walk in it, and everything will be fine. everything will be just fine. Waiting is a powerful thing because it grows this. We wait, and there's these holes of things we don't understand, and now we know it's planned that way. There are secret things of God we're never going to know. It's planned that way. And we take the Word of God, and we are just to have faith to entirely leave Egypt and start a whole new life, a whole new way, all in following the Word of God and trust Him. And trust Him. And He says, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. You don't got to get a little cranky because you've been waiting so long. You don't got to snip at this person and that person and that person because they haven't been waiting as long as you've been waiting. And their changes weren't quite like your changes. You don't got to do that. Just be faithful to your God. Be faithful to your God. Walk in all the words of His law. You don't got to understand everything. You don't. You don't like the change, and I don't like the change, but I'm just going to trust Him and walk in all the words of His law. This waiting is a powerful thing. It brings out who we are. Right away, 40 days, and these guys are like, Aaron, get up, make us a god. What's happened to this guy? I have no idea, but we're ready to go back to Egypt. Make us a god. That's where their heart was. Their heart was in Egypt. Second point, that was one long point, I know, but second point, in Exodus chapter 32, well, it's the fact that they rejoiced. They rejoiced in this God they just made. I don't know, man. I'm struggling to say this. They made a God, and now they're rejoicing. And Aaron says, "We're going to have a feast to the Lord tomorrow." And they're worshiping, they're singing and dancing, and they're doing this, and there's a golden calf sitting there. They made it. Their wives, their husbands, their little boys, and their little girls all took the golden earrings off their ears that came from Egypt, and they gave them to Aaron, and there were hundreds of thousands of people, so I imagine it was a decent calf. And they're rejoicing in the things their hands have made, things they've accomplished, rather than in God. And that is kind of us. That is kind of humanity. Just think with me for a minute. They don't know what happened to Moses. They don't have any answers. Things they don't understand. They're out in the wilderness. What are we doing here? And so what happens is that the sinful heart and soul of man really wants to rejoice in himself and to be able to rule over, have control of God. I mean, if this is some kind of a God that brought me out here, I just want to rejoice in something. I want some control. I want to feel some control. I have no control here. There is no control where we are at. At the base of this mountain, I didn't ask for this. He's gone. I didn't ask for this. Look, I want a God where I can rejoice and I can have some control over. And so they did. They made a God with their own hands, proclaimed the feast, and rejoiced over it. Had a party. They sat down to eat and drink and play, which means it got wild that night. Don't you get that way sometimes? It's like, I'm going to follow all this? I just want some fun. I just want to rejoice. I don't want someone judging me with all the words of that Bible. I want to rejoice. I'm a good person. I want to rejoice in myself. Even if I sin, even if I'm not perfect, I just want to feel good about myself for a day. I want to rejoice in myself. I want to feel like I have some control. So, we build a God. We build a God. We go to Egypt, and we proclaim a feast, and we build our own God that says, no, you're a really nice person, actually. I don't know what that Bible's talking about. You always feel guilty. I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to rejoice in yourself. Have some fun. The soul of man wants to rejoice in himself and in the things we've done and made. And so we turn to someone who will give us that. And they will. With the slavery that comes with it, they will tell us, rejoice in yourself. We honor who you are. You want to identify as a giraffe today? We honor that. We rejoice in that. You have control. Your soul, your sinful soul, wants to rejoice in itself. Go ahead. But all the while, the truth of the matter is, destruction is an eyelash away. Destruction is an eyelash away. In Exodus chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you've brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Go to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I'm not going with you. I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked, stubborn, self-willed people. And when the people heard this disastrous word, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people, stubborn and self-willed. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you. So now take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do with you. Therefore, the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. They were still wearing their ornaments from the gods of Egypt. And God quite frankly said, I'll send an angel, but it's best that I don't go, because I will, you will be gone in a heartbeat. Disaster was an eyelash away from this stiff-necked and stubborn people who just wanted to rejoice in what their soul craved and desired. They just wanted some rejoicing. They wanted some control. They have no idea how close they were to God annihilating them. Stephen quotes Amos. It's just a beautifully uplifting and positive book. For those of you who know Amos, Stephen quotes Amos there in Acts chapter 7. Acts Acts chapter 7, verse 25. Did you bring to me sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You shall take up Sikuth, your king, and Kiyun, your star god, your images that you made for yourselves, and I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Hey, for 40 years in the wilderness, did you sacrifice it all to me? Well, the answer is a little. They did keep a Passover and they did dedicate. But for 40 years, you don't really hear much about them sacrificing to their God. But I can tell you about the night they had a big party at the bottom of Mount Sinai when they made a golden calf and they rejoiced and they partied in the name of their God. And he says, for 40 years, you had your ornaments and the gods you made and you rejoiced in. What about me? What about me? Disaster was an eyelash away for them and for the nation that Amos is prophesying to. It's an eyelash away for them. They're about to go into Babylon. You just keep pretending like you're worshiping God. You just keep creating your own little calf there, filling in all these holes that you don't understand with that. But I'm telling you, trouble's around the corner because God won't put up with it. God won't put up with it. Our nation would be a pretty prime example right now. As our history was a good history. Our history was a growing history. Our history was a Joseph kind of history where the basic tenets of God and the Ten Commandments were built into our history. And we have quickly, in 250 some years, we've abandoned that. And still, in name only, we're a Christian nation. Filling in all the blanks now with following, not our God, but following the science and the technology and we follow. They tell us, follow, that is the word, follow the science. Follow the leaders. Follow the elite. And we have abandoned God. And disaster is not far off. Disaster is not far off. You and I can't do much about all that, can we? Just got to take care of me. Well, that's not really the plan, is it? It's not really the plan. So, you and I, be careful not to rejoice and have some feeling of control over areas of our life that it doesn't seem like God's there. And I turn to them and plug them into this ornament of a thing I call my faith. God doesn't like that. When you and I gave our life to Christ, we came out of Egypt entirely and went into a new life, not bringing anything along. It was a whole new life. It was a whole new way, a whole new place. Land flowing with milk and honey. Take your ornaments off. There are things we don't understand. There are secret things we'll never know about. Give Him everything, entirely and completely. He wants to make a covenant with us, the covenant of Christ's blood. And He wants us to abandon Egypt and follow Him. Follow Him. And Him alone. If we can. Trust Him with those changes. Trust Him with those waiting times. And should we begin to compromise and to welcome in our Egypt, He will do the same thing to us that He did to them. And Stephen told us that. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven. That is God's response still today. If that's what you want, if you can't trust me with this or with that, with the new direction, and you're going to go to them and draw, I'll turn away and let you do it. I'll turn away. You can have it. He'll still do that. Some have already preached that message, that God's already turned away from America. Church culture, church people, church things. I don't believe that. I don't think He has. I think there's time. But He darn sure will still turn away. He turned away from them there. He said, look, I'm going to send an angel, but I'm not going. And he did. There was an intercessor, and He did end up going. But they never went in. They came out, but they never went in. And Stephen said he turned away, and he was indicting them to say, and He's not with you either. He's not with you. So let's just gather ourselves. Who are you going to follow? That seems to be the catchphrase of the day. Follow the, let me fill in the blank for you. Follow the Savior. Follow the Savior. You have no business following anything or anybody but the Savior. Get it? Follow the Savior. There's one more thing, and I know I'm running late. I know that. Hang in there, because there's one more thing. There's one more point that I have to show you this. In Exodus 32. This is insane, folks. This is insane. And it's still happening today. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. The people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain. The people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Get up! Make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." How did they get out of Egypt? Moses. They just said it. But when they waited and they didn't understand, they told Aaron to make him a calf. Now look what they say in verse 4. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Which is it? Moses or this golden thing standing there? And here's my statement. This is crazy. I'm just going to read it to you off my page. Following the gods of society that our hearts love to follow, we want answers. We want to rejoice in who we are and what we're doing. I want to rejoice that I identify as a giraffe today. And they'll let me. My heart wants to go there. Following the gods of society, and there are many, our hearts love to go there, clearly doesn't mean that they are real or able to deliver us or even help us. They just mirror our own hearts' desires to rejoice and rule over our soul, to worship what we want, how we want. And like the Hebrew children at Mount Sinai, we know these value gods aren't real, didn't deliver us, and can't deliver us, but they are the God of our heart's design and desire, and we will rejoice and rule our soul and our life as we see fit. They're the work of our heart and mind. They made a calf and said, that brought us out of Egypt. And they just got done saying, we don't know what happened to this Moses who brought us out of Egypt. They are willing to worship this calf who clearly can't talk. They just took off their earrings and made their God. Clearly can't deliver them. Clearly can't help them. And they knew it. And they gave him all the authority, all the praise, and they knew it was a lie. They knew it couldn't help, but what did they get? Rejoicing over their soul in control. And Aaron was letting them do it. Here it is. Let's proclaim a feast. Rise up and play. And I'm telling you, there are 1,000 gods in our Egypt. Oh, they're not statues. They're values. They're things that they say, you can have this and rejoice. You can do this and rejoice with our gods. You want to be a giraffe? Okay. Rejoice over that. We'll rejoice with you. You can have control. Your soul, you should be able to worship who you want, do what you want. And you know, you really aren't going to get any help, any redemption. They can't provide what they're promising. Hasn't this last 2 years proven to you they can't provide what they're promising? They promised this virus would be gone. I can show you videos of Biden and Fauci and a number of any others telling you, just get this and we will eradicate this virus. And it is anything but that. 80% of the hospitalizations and deaths in Israel are people who have followed the science. 80%. Oh, maybe it makes it worse. Oh, maybe we've got some changes to make. They can't deliver. God can deliver. God knows the day I'm going home, whether it's a virus or a car wreck or somebody walks in here and shoots me. It is the day God put on the calendar for Terry. Nothing will change it. Nothing. They can't deliver. Don't follow them. Follow God. He's the only one who can deliver. And so many people know this, but they follow because they want control and they want to rejoice. Okay, I did what they said. Okay, I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, you're a good person now. Follow the Savior. Follow the Savior. Their gods can't deliver, and they know it. They know it. And they will worship them anyway. They will worship them anyway. I'm going to close with this passage of Scripture. In case you think, or you need a little more proof, this is the New Testament. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Suppress the truth. They know the truth. He brought us out of Egypt. Build a calf. The calf brought us out of Egypt. They suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them. They know it because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power, His divine nature, they've been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. They are without excuse. They know. And although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Build me a calf. Follow the calf. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Now you say that's statues, right? That's ornaments. Listen to how quickly the language changes. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies, dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Why are we always dishonoring our body instead of trusting God? Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, that's why. And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. We're not talking about statues anymore. Statues are made in the image of man's passions and desires. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner, all kinds of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy. They envy one another. They murder, strife, they argue, deceit. They're deceitful to one another, malicious. They're gossipers. They're just gossipers. Slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventing evil. Disobedient to parents. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Build a calf. We are having a party. He brought us out of Egypt. They know it. It don't work. It's a piece of gold, and they will follow it so they can rejoice in their own sinful heart have control over their life to some degree. I'm a good person. And they will even go back to the slavery of Egypt as long as they can rejoice in who they are and have control over their soul. And they will celebrate. They will celebrate that idiot over there worshiping the gold calf who they know it can't do nothing. And our government is celebrating the stupidity of you identifying as a giraffe. They are celebrating the evil stupidity of so much that's going on in our country right now. And way too many Christians have joined Aaron in this celebration to say, I don't know what happened to our God, but I've got a lot of questions and there's a lot of things and God's not going to knock on my door today, so I'm just going to trust them with this one. I am begging you. God will turn away. I think it's an eyelash away from all you-know-what breaking loose in this country and around this world right now. Who made this world anyway? Who made this world? It's God's world, ain't it? Isn't this His world? You going to stand up and defend it? You going to stand up and tell somebody that? This is God's world, not yours. Quit making golden calves that are so stupid. Why are we worshiping this stuff? Because you want to rejoice in who you are, in what you've made and what you're doing, and you want control. And it's really hard, isn't it, to just submit and surrender to a God so much bigger and outside of us who says, nope, I've got this. There's things you don't understand. There are secret things. Don't worry. You follow what you know. You follow what I've shown you. That's so hard, isn't it? I don't know what's become of him. People say he's coming back. They've been saying that for a long time. I don't know. Follow the Savior. Follow the Savior. Waiting is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And already there's so many churches and church people. I'm just going to call them church people. They've built their calves. They have built their calves. And they have proclaimed Him to be their God. Everybody's got a limit. You know, your faith goes out. Like I said, I got faith, man. I can walk on water. And my walking on the water can be a foot deep water or 2 feet deep water. You take me out in 10 feet of water. And everybody's faith's got this limit. Mine does. It's out there somewhere. So do you. So me and you got to just come back to the basics and say, look, my God owns this place. This is His land. This is His world. I'm here as someone just to rule over it for Him, just to be an ambassador for Him. But He's still in control. He is in control. And every bit as the next generation went into the promised land, defeated them giants, every bit as He said, you're going to go into Babylon, came true. Every bit, kill my son, I'm going to rise him from the dead. He rose from the dead. Every bit, we can trust Jesus. Follow the Savior. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where your heart's at today. This would be a great day for you to put some pegs in the ground and say, whatever happens in these days ahead, here around the world, those grocery store shelves get empty. I don't know. I follow the Savior, not the science, not the government, not the gods of this world. You want to call yourself a giraffe? That's between you and yourself, but not me. Not me. That's not God's way. That's not God's way. He made you. He gets to call you what you are. We're certainly not going to celebrate or rejoice with them over their golden calves. Your God is big enough. He is still alive and strong and can do it. And He loves you. You have questions. I know you do. I do. There's things I don't understand. I know. There's things that are secret I'll never know. I know we're moving toward revelation. That's all I know. And I'm gonna put every bit of my chips. I'm just gonna on God. It's all in on God. All in. I think I'll win in the end. Take my life now, maybe. I think I win in the end. I think I jackpot. Yeah, absolutely. You know. I know I win. I'm going to. The Word of God says you win. Please, please, please take today. Please take today. Put a peg in the ground. Jesus only. Jesus only. Jesus only. I know. We want to rejoice in who we are. We do. I want some control. I want to shape my God to fit my deepest desires. I know you do. I do too. It don't work that way. It does not work that way. It's Him. Lord, thank you. Lord, we trust you. Probably not like we should. I pray. I pray for your grace. Give us, every one of us, me, everyone here, give us strength. Give us faith. Faith's a gift. Give it to us. We want it, Lord. We want to walk out those doors with boldness and love. Faith. Faith to walk on water. Faith to proclaim this is your land. This is your nation. Lord, give us. I'm asking. Give us that faith, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.